Tomorrow is Rath Yatra, and today, as we always do in the past, we'll read a little from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Usually we do that in the days preceding Rath Yatra. However, as you've seen, we've been sort of preoccupied with other Kurukshetra affairs, more battle affairs than Krishna and Gopi Leela affairs. But still, enough of that, and we should concentrate on the mood of Rath Yatra, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Rath Yatra, and how we can actually better our own appreciation of this festival that Srila Prabhupada placed such extraordinary emphasis on. Actually, prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance at Puri, people had really forgotten what the essential mood of Rath Yatra was. The tradition was there, Maharaj Indrajumna, how he had established Jagannath, and Jagannath had ordered this Rath Yatra festival. But the real purpose of it, as is generally the way of things, the way of rituals or festivals, that people become easily absorbed in the externals and forget about what the real meaning or the mood of a particular type of worship or festival is. So Lord Chaitanya, by his own songs during Rath Yatra, by his speeches through other devotees like Rupa Goswami, he revealed for us what the absorption of pure Vaishnavas should be and what their aspiration is in properly observing Rath Yatra festival. I'll just read from the first chapter of Madhya Lila, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "I shall describe all these incidents elaborately later on. Now I have given only a brief reference." He's just summarizing the things that he's going to speak about. And he begins here with this Rath Yatra festival. And he quotes a verse from Rupa Goswami, who wrote, "Priyasoham yam Krishna sahachari kurukshetra militastataham saradha tadida udavyor sangamam sukam tatapyanta kelan madura murari panchama jushe manome kalindi purinavipinaya spriyayati." And this is a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani, who says, "My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani, and now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but still, I would like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan." So this is a verse that's in Padyabali. Author says, "Now, O devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking in this way after having seen the Jagannath deity. The subject of his thoughts was Srimati Radharani, who met Krishna on the field of Kurukshetra. Although she met Krishna there, she was nonetheless thinking of him in the following way." So the historical reference here is that, as it's described in the latter chapters of the 10th canto, 80th chapter on, Krishna decided to go for the occasion of a solar eclipse to Kurukshetra. And it being a holy place, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, and all of the Yadavamsa, other kings of the world, as well as family members, were all invited to attend. And the Brijbasis, who are also related to the Jadus, also came. And there was a very beautiful reunion, heartfelt reunion of Krishna and his parents, friends, and then the gopis. Ultimately, after having actually met with all of his elders and peers, Krishna then went to a secluded place where he met with the gopis. And Srimati Radharani was also there. And when she saw Krishna, then she expressed her thoughts in the way that's described in this verse, and as it will be described in the following explanation by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He continues like this. She thought of him in the calm and quiet atmosphere of Vrindavan, dressed as a cowherd boy, but at Kurukshetra he was in a royal dress and was accompanied by elephants, horses, and crowds of men. Thus the atmosphere was not congenial for their meeting. Thus, meeting with Krishna and thinking of the Vrindavan atmosphere, Radharani longed for Krishna to take her to Vrindavan again to fulfill her desire in that calm atmosphere. So when Krishna was present at Kurukshetra, one can just imagine, there were hundreds and thousands of kings, their soldiers, armies, horses, elephants, opulence, noise, and they were all accommodated in cities of tents pitched all around the five lakes of Kurukshetra. And it was really an awesome occasion. But the gopis weren't used to this. Since Krishna left Vrindavan, they're always used to thinking of him only in one way. As a cowherd boy, not as a king, in the very quiet, rustic, very beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan, devoid of opulence, where Krishna simply playing his flute, has a peacock feather in his turban. This was for them Krishna. And one interesting thing here is that Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, he says that Srimati Radharani was yearning for Krishna to take her back to Vrindavan. And that's an interesting point I just noticed as I read it, that, you know, for us always Rathiyatra means taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. And here Srila Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani wanted Krishna to take her back to Vrindavan. And then let's just read a little further. Here's another very famous verse that the gopis spoke. It's quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, where they say, Ahuschati nalinanaba padaravindam yogeshvare vridavichinva magada bodhai samsara kupa patito taranava lambam geham jisham apibanas yudishyat sadana. The gopis spoke thus, Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. The gopis thought, Dear Lord, if your lotus feet again come to our home in Vrindavan, our desires will be fulfilled. In one verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. Let's hear what this verse is. The gopis continued, quote, Dear Krishna, the fragrance of the mellows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forests of the glorious land of Vrindavan, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dangling on your lips and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable, ecstatic emotions. In this way, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, he saw that the Lord was with his sister Subhadra and was not holding a flute in his hand. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful, his body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always increasing. So much to be said here, but just a comment in terms of how all of this is really relevant to us, because one may ask, well, the gopis are pure devotees. They're free from all material attachment. Why is it that they want to impose their desires on top of Krishna? They want to go back to Vrindavan. They want to enjoy the atmosphere there. They want to see Krishna in a particular way. And the answer is that no, the gopis don't have any desire of their own. But when they're seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra, they're suffering. Why do they suffer? Because they really think, poor Krishna. He's here in this great ocean of royalty and servants, but these people don't know how to serve him. They don't know how to serve him the way we do. I mean, maybe he's got his 16,108 queens here, but they're not nearly as capable of taking care of all of his needs as we are, because we know him better than they know him. In fact, we can see that in all of this opulence and everything, Krishna is actually uncomfortable. He's hankering to go back to Vrindavan. What the gopis express is Krishna's mood. What Srimati Radharani is saying is actually what Krishna is thinking. They're expressing Krishna's desire, which Krishna himself won't express because he's surrounded by so many other people who are actually doing their level best, who are actually doing their pure devotional best. So the gopis express a certain level of pure devotional service in which there is best and more best and super best, or perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And we can always emulate this mood, and our whole business is to emulate this mood, by always keeping in mind that we want to learn this type of selflessness. Our natural tendency, ahankara, vibhutatma, kartaham, ipimanyate, it's mine, it belongs to me, acting on the basis of false ego when I try to satisfy myself. That's the natural propensity of the conditioned soul, but we want to give that up. We want to become free from those type of propensities. And therefore Krishna consciousness is being conscious of what Krishna likes and doing what Krishna wants. I may have my likes and dislikes. I may do what I want or not want. But the main thing is, what is it that Krishna really wants? And let me act in such a way, anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, that's pleasing to Krishna. So we're being given the gift of pure devotional service, and the essence of pure devotional service is always this, doing that which is pleasing to Krishna. Yes, we have varnashram, yes, we get married, we have children, we have a business, we have so many other obligations, but we're adopting these things as a compromise to our conditioned nature, so that as we practice Krishna consciousness, while living in a very regulated and religious lifestyle that doesn't further degrade us, we can actually become free from any other type of attachment and any other consideration, not what's good for me, that's what's good for my husband, not even what's good for my children, but actually ultimately what's good for Krishna. And of course what's good for Krishna is good for me and is good for my husband and is good for, but the method of evaluating the standard, the template of consciousness is service to Krishna and pleasing Krishna. And when we act like that naturally, we don't act like that as a matter of sadhana because we're making an effort, neither are we just acting like that out of duty, but we act like that spontaneously. It's just our way of being. That's actually being Krishna conscious. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this Rath Yatra festival is teaching us how to give our whole being, our whole body, our whole existence to Krishna. And giving ourselves to Krishna is actually a great festival, a great celebration. And this self-celebration of pure devotional service is the essence of Rath Yatra. And when we keep those things in mind, then our appreciation of Rath Yatra matures year by year by year. Hare Krishna.